Genesis 32, I'm going to start in verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And we'll stop there with the reading of God's Word. And I want to ask you this question this morning. And you don't have to answer it aloud. Just in the back of your mind. If you had only one request to make of God, just one, what would that be? Of course, we know God answers many prayers, and thank God for that. But if you just had one request, and God only allowed you one, what would that be? I'm sure if we scan the crowd this morning and we would ask, maybe a show of hands, many of you would say, "I want all my family to be saved. I want my children to be saved." That would be your main request. And some of you would even broaden that a little bit and you would say, "Well, to get the rest of my family, I want all of my family to go to heaven with me." And those are all valid requests and important requests. Some of you would pray for physical health. You would pray that God would bless you in that way. You would pray for healing in your body. You would pray, maybe the request on your heart right now is that you would pray for the upcoming homecoming revival. And those requests are all valid and they're important. This morning on the way to church, I received a text message from Jill Game and a lot of their families going to their Uncle Roger's church this morning. And she said, "Have the church to remember us in prayer because a lot of them are unsaved that will be in church with us today." And that's a valid request. And Jacob here requested something of God. And this is my request this morning. Here's what he said. He said, "Lord, I need a blessing. Lord, I need a blessing." And I guess if I was to ask God of something today, it would simply be that. Because really, if I have a blessing, that'll cover just about every request that I have. Because the Bible says that He knows our need even before we ask. And the woman that went to Him one day, whenever she bowed at His feet, and she was a Gentile, of course, and she fell at His feet, and the Bible says she worshipped Him because her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. She fell at His feet and worshipped Him, and Jesus even said to her, you're not worthy to receive these blessings. I'm paraphrasing, but she said, "Even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the Master's table." And He said, "Truth." And He answered her prayer because of her faith. And I believe it was because she knew who He was. And she called Him Jesus, "Thou Son of David." This Gentile woman bowed at His feet and worshipped Him. And because she worshipped Him, Jesus answered her prayer. And I believe we'd get a lot more of our requests answered this morning if we'd simply call Him who He is. He's Jesus, "Thou Son of David." And at His name, if we worship His name, if we worship who He is and why He died and that He's coming again, I'd say we receive a lot more blessings and we get a lot more prayers answered just by worshiping the fact that He's God. But he said, "Lord, I need a blessing." And there's some things that led to this blessing. First of all, you'll notice there was desperation that led to this blessing. He needed a miracle. He needed an answer to prayer. He needed God to do something for him that he had been waiting for a long time. And sometimes when nothing short of a miracle will help you, maybe God is just preparing you and setting you up for a blessing. We listen to a preacher a lot, and one time he said, "All these troubles that you're going through," and he would walk around the church and he would say, "Sounds like a setup to me. Sounds like a setup to me." He said, "Sound like God just setting you up for a miracle in your life and see a lot of things that we go through, a lot of burdens that we carry. I believe sometimes it's just a setup for what God is preparing to do in our lives. And so Jacob was facing this. He needed nothing short of a miracle. And he cried out desperately. He said, "Lord, I will not let you go until you bless me." There was a couple of things that led to this desperation. You'll notice in verse 7 of chapter 32. I feel the Lord this morning. I don't know about you, but I do. Chapter verse 7 says, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed." You'll notice the first thing that led to this desperation was that he was afraid. And there's nothing that'll bind you more. There's nothing that'll cripple you spiritually than fear. And Jacob was afraid. Why was he afraid? Well, he was on his route back to Canaan. He had been gone now 20 years. And you have to remember what got him to this point. He deceitfully stole the blessing from his brother Esau. And he ran away 500 miles. And now 20 years later, the reunion is about to happen. And so here he is. He's afraid. And in order just to kind of scope out the scene, he sent messengers ahead of him to find out what was going on. And the messengers came back with this report. They said, "Listen, Esau's coming your way. You don't have to worry about coming his way. He's coming to meet you. And he's got 400 people with him. And he's coming to kill you." Hey, I'm telling you, I would be afraid as well. And really, he deserved it for all the thing that he had done to Esau. And so Esau was headed his direction. And Jacob here in his desperate cry was afraid. And he was fearful. And I'm telling you, sometimes fear will cause us to desperately cry out for God. And sometimes we face things in our life and it just kind of hits us in the gut. And it kind of knocks the wind out of us, so to speak. And we're afraid because we don't know what's going to happen the next time. And sometimes in our fear, we desperately cry out for God. And Jacob was afraid. But secondly, you'll notice in our text, and Jacob was left alone. Not only was he afraid, but he was alone. And I don't know about you, but sometimes the storms and the valleys we face, I realize we have to go through them, and that's a part of our Christian experience. But I don't know about you this morning, but there's nothing that I hate worse than to go through a storm and a trial all by myself. And I've been there before. Have you been there when you feel like there's no one else to go to but the Lord? And I know that's the best place to go. But sometimes when you go and you have questions and you can't answer and you feel all alone and there's things that happen and only you and God know about. There's inner demons and inner struggles that you face, just you and God, and no one can help you. And there's nothing worse than feeling alone. There's nothing worse than being afraid. And Jacob was left in this condition. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful sometimes that I get in desperation, because sometimes God uses desperation to take us out of our comfort zone. And that's exactly what Jacob was experiencing. Oh, but Marcia, what I love about this text, he says when he was left alone, there showed up somebody. I caught this the other day when I was reading it. And when he was left alone, there wrestled a man. Hey, I don't know about you, but if I got my hand in his big hand, even though I'm afraid, and even though I'm alone, thank God, he shows up in time, on time, every time. And in his desperation, he cried out to God. He said, "Lord, I will not let thee go until you bless me." And sometimes I think some of us are just living comfortable in our Christian experience. We're satisfied. Hey, I'm preaching this morning. We're satisfied with just filling a pew. We're satisfied with coming on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and sometimes on Wednesday. And then even sometimes on Sunday. And then even sometimes on Sunday morning. And sometimes we get in here and we just... You know, lackadaisical, I guess. That's a big word, isn't it? But it works. Hey, we just get lazy in our Christian experience. And we come in and just fill our time. And sometimes I think God needs to stir you up. And needs to stir me up. Because, hey, we ain't, as our pastor's already preached, we ain't got much time left. And if we're going to see prayers answered, we're going to have to get desperate. We're going to have to grab the horns of the altar and say, "Lord, I will not let you go until you bless me. Lord, I need a blessing." Desperation. But secondly, you'll notice his determination. He says, I will not let you go. I will not let you go. Now, some preachers have said, and we know that there's types of Christ all throughout the Scripture. But this isn't a type of Christ. This is Christ. I believe with all my heart, this was the Lord Jesus Christ he was wrestling with. Amen. Jesus showed up a lot of times in the Old Testament. He showed up with the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. He showed up with Moses on the mountain. He showed up with Jacob right here. There wrestled a man. I believe it was the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here he was. And as he was wrestling with him, he said, you know, God said, let me go. He said, no, I'm not going to let you go until you give me a blessing. He was determined. He was not going to stop until the Lord blessed him. You say, Brian, what does that have to do with me? I'm telling you, some of you stop way too short of your blessing. Hey, I know God hears us the first time. I know He does. I know He does just like Daniel. The Bible says that he prayed three times a day and the prayers went up. And when Michael finally broke through, he said, I heard you the first time, Daniel. But that still didn't negate Daniel from keeping on praying. He kept on praying, kept on praying, kept on praying, kept on praying, and he kept on praying until he got through and the Lord answered his prayer. Hey, I was raised in the old-fashioned way and I ain't ashamed about it. Hey, when you prayed at the altar, you prayed until you prayed clear through. And you remember what that illustration Billy Huddleston gave us, right? From Dr. Clyde Perry. He said, what does it mean to pray through? Clyde Perry always says, when you come to the altar, you pray and 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 you pray till you get through. And I think we need to change the way we pray up here sometimes. And I appreciate everyone that comes up and prays with people. But I think we stop way too short of getting victory. Some people that come up here and pray, they don't have victory. They just feel better. Well, of course you feel better. You're in the presence of God and the burden's starting to get lifted. But hey, I'm not concerned about you feeling better. I'm concerned about you getting victory. We need to get back the old-fashioned way. When we come and pray, they beat the devil out of you. They did, Dorsey, I'm telling you. My grandpa would be over here and say, come on, let go, Brian, let go, let go. Then Uncle Freddie would be over here, hold on, Brian, hold on, hold on. And I was so confused, I didn't know whether to let go or hold on. But I tell you what I wasn't doing, I wasn't getting up until I was praying clear through. And we just let go so many times. We're so close to our miracle. We're so close to our children getting saved. We're so close to our spouses getting saved. We're so close to our marriage being restored. We're so close to healing in our body. And we want to stop so short of God's miracles. But I'm telling you, I'm giving you encouragement this morning. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't let the Lord go until you get a blessing. The woman in the New Testament was persistent to the judge. The Bible says because of her importunity, the Lord answered prayer. The judge answered prayer, rather. The word importunity means, sorry kids, but she wouldn't shut up. She wouldn't be quiet until the judge answered her. Some of you are just way too quiet about this thing. You just want to sit there. You just want to sit there and say, well, he hears my mind. He understands my heart. Yes, he does. But I've said this before and I'll say it again. Sometimes it won't happen until you tell it. Joseph had a dream, but it didn't happen until he told his brethren. Sometimes it won't happen until you tell it. And sometimes our pastor's preached, the power of life and death is in the hand. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And if you want to speak death, then just be quiet. But I'm not concerned about you dying spiritually. I'm concerned about you being alive in Jesus Christ. And the only way you're going to get alive is to get determined and keep speaking the name of Jesus. Keep speaking your miracle. Keep speaking answer prayer. And I'm telling you, the more you speak, the more God listens up. I was talking to Pastor Chuck Lawrence up at Christ Temple when we had the meeting. Pastor Chuck is a tremendous man. Carrie's known him a lot longer than I have. But he got to talking to me about a message that he preached at his church. He was talking about Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones. And here was the title of his message, and it threw me. He says, just when you think it gets bad, he says, then it gets worse. I thought he was going to flip that around and say, just when you think it's getting bad, it's going to get better. But he said, no, just when you think it's getting bad, it's going to get worse. I said, you've got my attention. He said, look at the Valley of Dry Bones. God told Ezekiel to speak to the dry bones. And he says, bones you can handle. He says, bones are a lot easier to handle than a corpse. But Ezekiel spoke to the bones. And then the bones started getting flesh on. So now Ezekiel has a problem. You can handle bones, you can gather them up and put them in a box. But now he's got a corpse. There wasn't life in it yet. He said, that's the way our lives are spiritually. Sometimes we can handle certain things and certain burdens that happen in our lives, but then it gets worse and we got a corpse laying on our feet. He said, but Ezekiel didn't shut up. The Lord kept telling him, speak, speak, speak to the bones, speak to the corpse. And he said, and here was the last part of my message. He says, yes, it gets bad, then it gets worse. But thank God, God will turn it around to victory. Because the more he spoke to the dry bones, they became a corpse. But then he spoke to the corpse, and God breathed life into the corpse, and it resurrected. Hey, I'm telling you what, sometimes it gets bad, but hang on, it's going to get worse. But the more you speak to it, the more you speak to your storm, the more you speak to your trial, the more determined you are. Thank God, the blessing will come. Jacob said, I will not let thee go until you bless me. Those are important words. Because he knew where his blessing was coming from. He said, there's a reason why I'm not letting you go, because I know the blessing is coming from you. And we want to grab on to so many other things thinking that's going to bless us. We want to grab on to our bank account. We want to grab on to our family. We want to grab on to the hopes that we have and dreams that we have and aspirations. But they'll fade away. As long as we hold on to the Lord, right, Dorsey? Thank God he said he blessed us. And that's where our blessing's coming from. I'll close with this because we got to go to Sunday school. But is it okay to finish it tonight, Cal? Mays Jackson tells a story of a lady in his church that was blind. And she was near death. And she was laying in a hospital bed. And the chaplain of the hospital came around and made his visits. And Pastor Mays couldn't get there at that time, and so the chaplain went in. And the chaplain said, ma'am, I realize you're from another church, he said, but they tell me you're close to making your crossing, and I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to pray a prayer of blessing over you, that God would be with you. And so there she was, laying in that bed, and she was blind, of course, and she thanked him for coming and praying. But she said, before you pray, would you care to let me hold your hands? That's normal. Sometimes we do that in hospitals. We gather hands. And so he didn't think nothing of it. So the chaplain held onto her hand. And she did something weird, Josh. She began to feel his hands and feel his wrists. And then she just let go. And she said, sir, I appreciate you coming today. But the blessing I'm needing ain't coming
from your hands. Your hands don't have wounds in them. I'm looking for hands that have wounds. Because those hands are where my blessing is going to come from. You know what she was saying? She's saying, the one that kept me this far. Those same hands are going to lead me home. And she was determined she wasn't going to let go until she made it on to heaven. Are you determined this morning to hold to His hand? Are you determined to not quit with Jesus Christ when you're so close to, some of you are so close to receiving the greatest blessing that you've ever faced. Some of you right now are saying, I'm not going to come back this evening. I've got so many things to do. What if your greatest blessing was here at tonight's service? Not because I'll finish this message, not because someone else is singing, but maybe God's got what you need this evening. But you know what? I believe He has it right now for some of them. Some of you, you really don't know what you need. That's why when you come and pray, Lord, I need a blessing. And keep praying and not quitting, not giving up. God will give you what you need according to His riches and glory. Maybe you don't know the Lord is your Savior today. His presence is here. Maybe you came this morning with just the intention of fulfilling an obligation of someone that invited you. I appreciate that. And they appreciate that. But you came in here. The choir started singing about heaven. We started singing about somebody loves me. And then you realize where the blessing is going to come from. And you, what's this weird feeling inside? That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, telling you that there's a better way to live. There's a better life to live. And that's only going to come through the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your life may be in a mess this morning. You may be going through a test or trial. But listen, your blessing is going to come from Him. Don't turn Him away this morning.